Abdurrahman Alaki, as well as Samir Khan, three U.S. citizens. Talk about the significance of this. It's supposed to be released now, any day now, in exchange for David Barron to become a federal appeals court judge, which he has become.
I think this is all about the issue of transparency, of course. You know, this was something Obama said in May last year, we're going to be more transparent about the drone program, and it just hasn't happened. I mean, obviously, for Yemenis, they want the same for their citizens in the sense of why are people targeted? How do they end up on this so-called list? Even when people are killed, what threat did they even pose to America? A lot of the times, we don't even know the identity of people being killed. So as much as this is important to see this from a U.S. citizen's perspective, it's still a long way off finding out the same reasons behind why Yemenis are targeted or other individuals in Yemen are targeted. But when you're trying to push towards some form of transparency, I guess it's, you know, it's a step in the right direction. But it's still always very unclear in Yemen what threat these individuals pose, because most of the people that have been killed on the ground in Yemen, on the vast majority of cases, these are just foot soldiers. These are people, you know, I visited areas where the body's still lying in the morgue months later after they've been killed because nobody knows who they are. They haven't been identified.
And we just have about 30 seconds, but the impact of expelling so many foreign journalists, you were the last foreign accredited journalist in Yemen, what that means?
I chose to leave. You know, that was a personal choice, and I hope to go back, although I don't know how easy it will be to do that. But I think the thing we have to watch for is how the local journalists are treated now. It doesn't really matter about the foreigners in the sense that the worst they're going to do is kick them out of the country. They don't get treated badly. It's the local journalists that they ones that face physical attack, imprisonment, and worse. And particularly with this offensive going on in Shabwa, you mentioned earlier about the Al Jazeera journalist who was kicked out of the province trying to cover that conflict. And we have no indication of independent verification of, you know, civilian casualties, how the local population is coping in that conflict. All we have is information from the government or from al-Qaeda. And that's where you see that the local journalists are really important in getting the information out. And I think it's very troubling when the government is preventing that from happening.
I want to thank you, Ayona Craig, for being with us, journalist who's been based in Sana'a for the last 3.5 years. She's the Yemen correspondent for The Times of London. We'll continue to talk to you. That does it for the show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Barker, Nafel Zaramati, Noreen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Masood, Robbie Karen, Dina Gezder, Amy Little, Focus Center, Liz Air, Messiah Roach, Rina Nadura, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Laguerre, our engineer. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining us.
Has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale. Full Circle accepts like-new natural fiber clothing, jewelry, and accessories for consignment or store credit. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont, and on the web at gazellenaturalfiberclothing.com or fullcircleresaleportland.com.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Fight break, Alex! Are we in the
And good morning. You are listening to your very own community radio station, KBOO in Portland. And what you are listening to show-wise this morning is Positively Revolting. I'm Lynn. I'm here with...
Connie. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we are...
So you might want to say your name one more time.
Am I here now?
Yeah.
Oh, here. Good. Good morning. I'm Ani. And we are totally excited to have with us this morning a couple of community activists to talk with us about...
First, though, I just want to thank everybody
for...
We just got through with a very successful membership drive, and I want to thank all the KBOO listeners, and specifically this morning, folks from Positively Revolting that called in, made it happen. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, on to the business at hand.
Yes, thank you. So we are excited to have a couple of community organizers with us this morning so we can talk about tomorrow's Global Day of Action Against GMOs and the March Against Monsanto Portland. There's marches across the country.
But wait, didn't we just have one of those?
It was a year ago.
Monsanto's still with us. Okay, let's keep going.
We haven't brought down Monsanto yet.
But we will.
There is another Global Day of Action. And today we are fortunate enough to have Tiffany Ayers back. She was with us last year. And thank you very much for being with us again, Tiffany. Tiffany's a food activist, and she's the lead organizer of the Portland March Against Monsanto. We also have Karen Swift, who is a co-founder of the Biosafety Alliance and on the board of Right to Know.
With the steering committee of Right to Know, yes.
Okay. And also, you know, community organizer, and you have information about the Jackson County initiative that just passed. So we are excited to get into this topic. It's huge. It's far-ranging. And I want to thank you both for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having us.
So let's just start with the big overview of tomorrow as Global Day of Action, the local contingent. So March Against Monsanto in Portland is happening tomorrow. Tiffany, can you give folks the details of that march?
Yeah. The event starts at 11 o'clock, and we'll have some Aztec dancers and sign making. And then we're going to have Ed Edmo. He's a Shoshone Bannock storyteller. And then Karen is going to speak, actually. And then we have... Lino Rosa Villa, he's a human rights activist, and then we're going to have a moment of silence for the veterans and the bees, and then the march will be led off by Love Bomb Go-Go again, who are really awesome, and then we'll be welcomed back by Bloco Alegria, and then Scott Bates from the Oregon Right to Know will speak, Naga Nataka from the Community Rights PDX, Jonah Major, he's a farmer, Sam Smith from Community Supported Everything, and then we'll have closing statements and such.
Excellent. Why is it important that we're having Global Days of Action? Why does this Global Day of Action exist? There's GMO is sort of at issue, and genetically modified organisms in crops and in food. Karen, with your work with the Biosafety Alliance, can you talk a little bit about the concerns about safety of GMOs in foods?
Well, of course, one of the major issues is that the FDA doesn't require any testing of the health effects of GMOs. It's all voluntary. So basically, you're just relying on the corporations producing these seeds and patenting them to then tell you how safe they are.
Self-regulating, isn't that what
they call that? Self-regulating, exactly, yes. What a fantastic idea. I don't know who came up with that idea.
Well, what's interesting is who came up with nodding and saying that was okay. We'll just regulate ourselves. Oh, fine. No worries. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That concept always drives me crazy.
Yeah. But, I mean, for Biosafety Alliance and for many, including myself, one of the major issues around GMOs is the patenting of life and the patenting of seeds. And, you know, farmers have been saving seeds for thousands of years and sharing with each other. And then suddenly, over the past, you know, decade or two, suddenly, oh, okay, let's just genetically engineer them and then get a patent on life. Therefore, we can control the food system. That's one of the major issues. Second, you know, I think over 85% of GMOs produced worldwide are resistant to pesticides or have multiple traits of resistance to glyphosate, Roundup, glufosinate. You know, now they're trying to deregulate 2,4-D.
Aren't they finding that they are that they have to make a new Roundup too, because nature will out, and it seems that what was pesticide resistant is not. I want to call it fungus. What kind of resistant is it again? Anyway, resistant to the Roundup, and they're becoming resistant to that. Sort of the way antibiotics are working.
Yeah, they become immune, and so they start stacking the pesticides, which is why they're trying to get the 2,4-D out. And they'll use that with Roundup as well, like with the glyphosate.
More ways to make money. It's like that whole... Some brilliant person in Monsanto thought, oh, there's no way to make money on seeds when people are saving seeds. I mean, that's, to me, sort of how that started. Like,
How can we make people buy seeds every growing season?
Yeah. We've been missing this market. What were we thinking?
I mean, it started with the hybridization of seeds, but of course, genetically engineered was an easier way to patent. That happened early on with the hybridization of corn, so that then it was difficult for farmers to save seeds. They had to go back to whoever was providing those seeds. That was early on with the American Seed Trade Association, who early on decided to... They actually convinced the USDA to stop handing out seeds to farmers, because the USDA used to hand out seeds to farmers.
Like for free?
For free, because they wanted farmers to farm and grow food. And then the American Seed Trade Association said, there's some economic potential gain here.
We're missing something here, yeah.
So that's just kind of grown. You know, then we saw the big... Earl Butts of the 70s, get bigger, get out, agricultural mentality. And then that's kind of, led into today. You know, okay, how do we consolidate land and seeds? And so that's a major issue with GMOs.
Thank you for that history. I think that's important for folks to understand some of the ramifications of how gigantic this is.
Yeah, it's been going on for a long time.
And so beyond the concerns of health, there's the concerns of global health and environmental health and the issues of pollinators. That's of a huge concern. Tiffany, can you talk about the, I think it's absolutely related to what we were just talking about with the increased pesticides being used, but also in the genetic structure of the, quote, new foods or new crops. I'm using quotes that doesn't work so well on the radio, but trust me, my fingers are making bunny ears in front of me. That we're seeing a dramatic decrease of pollinators like butterflies, like bees. Can you speak to that?
Maybe a little bit. Yeah, there's a thing like colony collapse disorder, CCD, and it's possible. I mean, nobody is really like saying whether or not there's different issue or different theories, but the neonicotinoids is one of the responsibilities for the colony collapse disorder. People will argue that that's not it, but we just had last June or July where all those bees in Wilsonville died.
I think it was July.
Yeah, because somebody sprayed it. Pesticide on the tree while it was in bloom, and the bees were going to pollinate it, and instead they just died in there. I actually went down there to see that, and there were just dead bees everywhere with like big bags over the trees that to keep other bees out.
Right.
And one major issue is that essentially all corn seed and a lot of big agricultural commodity crops are coated with neonicotinoids to preserve the seed. And then, so that's, you know, I didn't realize that until recently. It's not just spraying neonics, it's actually coating most of seeds.
Coating
that are planted,
the seed itself.
Yes.
Well, and a lot of plants, like at Home Depot, there are plants that have neonicotinoids in them, growing in them.
Well, like the BT cotton, the neonicotinoids are systemic in it. Like it grows within the plant.
Right.
So, and that's BT
How efficient.
Cotton.
Mm-hmm. I think there's BT corn.
Mm-hmm. And that was actually, I remember I remember in 99 when we were moving against the WTO, looking at BT corn and sort of being Cassandra-like and saying, this is not going to go well for bees. That was sort of a little contingent I was more or less with. It was, you know, one of those things that we're seeing now 15 years later. Oh, look, there's actual die-offs happening. And what, you know, what an amazing tragedy to lose our pollinators. It kind of looks like it could be, well, let's just say disruptive to our food system, if not, you know, going to be causing global famine soon. Not to be an alarmist. But without pollinators, you don't really get crops.
Right. You
right?
don't have food.
Right. And, it, so, you know, I don't mean to look at it from a purely sort of selfish lens, but it does seem like when we are talking about corporations that are making business decisions that actually have the ability to impact global food supply, that seems kind of huge. You know, I think that there are many reasons that one might be concerned about GMOs. But if all else fails, look for self-interest. We all like food. Like, you know, crops are important.
We actually need food.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, so anyway, I want to remind people you are listening to KABU, your very own community radio station, and this is Positively Revolting. I'm Ani. I'm here with Lynn. And this morning, our guests are Tiffany Ayers and Karen Swift. They are local activists who have been working on GMO issues and are here to talk about tomorrow's Global Day of Action and especially what's happening here in the Northwest and in Portland specifically. So 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, Shemansky Park is the gathering point. If people have questions or want to talk about this issue, you can call in the studio at 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. We invite your call. You can also follow us online on Facebook, where you can find us. We're Positively Revolting. Also on Gmail, you can email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
All those things.
Connect,
they do indeed.
I want to talk about the march and the sort of spirit thereof. I know I myself have been doing community organizing for, you know, a long time, you know, since I was a teenager, and I'm well past that now, let's just say. And I feel strongly that I never need to go to another march where people sort of walk in a straight line and carry a placard with a sort of, you know, drab slogan, and everyone goes home in an hour. And it just always leaves me flat at this point. Last year's March Against Monsanto was so amazingly energizing from my perspective.
Why was that?
Well, I'm getting to that. Okay. Lynn, I am. Yeah, bear with me. Anyways, we have the fact that you have Love Bomb Go-Go leading off the march, I think, really does speak to the level of, I want to say street theater, but there were costumes, there were people visually displaying their concerns in costuming, in really creative sign making, in props that were being carried. I mean, it was a very high energy, spirited event with costuming, with props, with a sense of humor, and with a hard-hitting message. And the fact that you have Love Bomb Go-Go leading off again tells me that you're looking for that same sort of spirited assembly. Is that fair to say?
Yes. I'm hoping for that. Last year's march, like, honestly, was way more than I actually ever...
It was huge.
Sorry. Yeah.
I love that when things take on a life of their own, and it's good.
Yeah, people just came dressed up in costumes, which was great. There was a family that was dressed up like mad scientists, and they had
yes.
their kids in a shopping cart, and I was just like, wow, this is amazing. That
I don't
that
know
had
who
nothing
those
to do with
were,
me.
And yet, that's the image I still have in my head a year later. That was just
yeah.
brilliant.
They yeah. were awesome. Yeah, and I hope, I mean, I encourage people to dress up in costumes. It was great. It has a bigger impact, and it will also attract people that don't know what's don't know that the march is going on. You know, they're like, oh, well, what's going on over here? Let's go check it out. There's all these people in costumes.
It feels inviting and festive for people that don't know. And again, inviting, I think, is something that's really important. How are you all working on, like, sort of spreading the word and actually taking this out, you know, further into, you know, the non-choir community? How are you actually handling that as organizers?
I'm not really this year. Because I'm so busy with school and everything. Mm-hmm. Just Facebook is all I've been doing. We do have people going out and like handing out flyers at like farmers markets, and believe it or not, not everybody at farmers markets knows about Monsanto. You would think that they do, and they don't even know. I mean, a lot of them don't know about GMOs. Then we're just posting flyers around town, and that's about it.
Yeah, speaking on different local radios stations, like yesterday on X-Ray Radio, just spreading the word, getting people to spread the word with word of mouth. That's definitely a helpful way of getting people out.
Right. And you know, I always figure that this is an excellent conversation for the office water cooler. It's something that we need to talk to people about. You know, if it's a fine opportunity when you're eating lunch, you know, with a coworker, you know, to sort of bring up concerns. To me, people talking to each other, friends talking to each other, coworkers talking to each other, tends to be, in my experience, a far more effective way of reaching out, and rather than, trying to do other means, you know, that's sort of bombastic, somebody, you know, preaching it.
And it's more personal than social media, though we all love social media, but actually talking to a human being
is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, that sort of inviting the spectacle and inviting, it's such an obviously family-friendly event. It's such an obviously a fun and spirited event. It leaves you feeling like there's hope. At least it did last year, and I'm looking forward to the same this year.
This year we'll also be collecting signatures for the labeling initiative at the march too. So
let's talk about the labeling initiative a little bit. Karen, is that something you want to speak to?
Sure, yeah. I mean, the labeling initiative is now kicking off with lots of good energy from everything that just happened in Jackson, Josephine County with the GMO bans, and great educational opportunities those two initiatives offered. Educating people essentially about, you know, the problems with cross-contamination of GMO crops with non-GMO crops and, you know, what GMOs are. And then now leading into labeling, we are moving full force ahead, gathering signatures. We're trying to gather, we will gather, but we are in the midst of gathering 87,000, trying to get about 100,000 just to kind of have that buffer zone by July 3rd. So we encourage everyone to come out and gather. Go contact folks from Oregon Right to Know to pick up your signature gathering sheets and take them out.
How do people contact Oregon Right to Know?
Just go to the website, OregonRightToKnow.com, I believe it is.
And what exactly are we wanting people to label?
Genetically engineered foods. So
it would be like right up there on the package so you know exactly what you're getting?
Exactly, yes.
What a fabulous idea. Let's see, we have to say how much salt is in something. It's how much sodium. It just seems like what a helpful sort of thing.
And I'm sorry, the website again was Oregon Right to Know?
Exactly, yeah, Oregon Right to Know.
Okay, great. And see, we have with us somebody from Corvallis joining us by phone. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, actually, I'm from Portland. I'm friends with Tiffany and Karen, and I'm helping on the march. Hi, guys.
Good morning. Hello.
But Good morning. Are you calling to talk about what's happening in Corvallis?
Well, I just wanted to let your cable listeners know. I know you have a station in Corvallis and in Portland.
Yeah.
There's the Portland March. People can get information on Facebook. It's March Against Monsanto /PDX. And there's also going to be a march in Eugene. So for your listeners in Corvallis and that area, you could look and attend the Eugene March. And the name of that march on Facebook is March Above and Beyond. So we hope that you could check out. And I just want to emphasize how significant the win in Southern Oregon is to ban GMOs. I've been following this issue for years, and besides being, you know, a critically important win for the small family farmers there, this shows that we can and we will stand up against Monsanto. They went up against the most powerful chemical companies in the world, and a small group of people said no. I think Oregon is different, and I hope that everyone listening could take that energy and come celebrate that win with us on Saturday, because it's an amazing thing that hasn't happened anywhere else in the United States. And I think Oregon will show that this is possible. So thanks for having us. We look forward to seeing you guys at the march.
Thanks very much. And also Oregon State Capitol tomorrow, looks like noon, in Salem will be another March Above and Beyond. So there's, again, stuff happening throughout the state,
and
stuff happening throughout the country.
Throughout the world. If you're in Africa, Asia, Australia, let's see, all over the place in Europe. So it's going to be something that folks all over the world, and there's a great little map. If you just use your favorite search engine and put in March Against Monsanto, that will show you exactly where these things are happening. And I always like knowing that I'm not just even just doing it in Portland, that it's something that's going to be worldwide. And for those of you who love to post YouTube things, get out there, and there should be lots of postings being done. Don't you think, Tiffany?
Yeah, actually, I'm bringing a video camera.
Excellent.
And I'm going to...
Leave home without one anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to be filming. So I'm taking interviews, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Just really quickly, I want to mention to everybody, back to the Right to Know campaign. So you can also download a single signer petition sheet. This we're encouraging everyone to do. So again, OregonRightToKnow.org. You can download the single signer petition sheet. This is a new thing that's happening. Secretary of State made it possible to download it, fill it out, sign it, send it back in. That's a faster, more convenient way to collect signatures to meet our little over 87,000 signature required amount to qualify.
Excellent. That sounds like a good idea. Once again, you are listening to Positively Revolting on your very own community radio station, KBOO, in Portland. And we are here this morning with Tiffany Ayers, one of the organizers, community organizers, and one of the folks who's doing it for the March Against Monsanto this Saturday. And Karen, I'm looking for your last name.
Karen Swift, Biosafety Alliance.
Thank you, Karen Swift, Biosafety Alliance. I love the name of that. Biosafety? What do you mean by biosafety exactly?
Biosafety is a term that's been used kind of more specifically regarding biosafety of seeds, as kind of used within more of the, activism from a way back. But when we use it, we're really referring to, you know, the alliance itself is about cross-sector alliances and cross-sector coalitions to address issues related to GMOs. So that's more what the Biosafety Alliance has been up to. We've been putting on conferences the last few years and organizing different educational events.
Good. I mean, that's just a huge amount of work to go up against these behemoths, Monsanto. And what are some of the other chemical... You know, Monsanto gets most of the publicity. Of course, they deserve it. I'm not saying they don't. But what are some of the other chemical companies that we're trying to... I don't want to say so much... disclose, you know, take the veil of secrecy off of.
There's Dow, Syngenta...
Dow, Syngenta, Bayer, BASF. Those are the main, you know, if you just look at the big ones that donated approximately $1 million to try to defeat what happened in Jackson County, those are the names you'll see coming up, the big donors. You know, and that was an incredible win to see that, as everyone said, the multinational chemical corporations can't buy Jack.
Yeah, and actually Jackson County was dealing with more with Syngenta and the sugar beets. That's like the big crop that's GMO down there.
Okay.
Exactly. That was the main issue. There really are not that many GMOs grown down in Jackson and Josephine County, but Syngenta was using the area essentially for test plots for the crops, and that was threatening other farmers, and that's really what
I know, because what a test plot, that's insane, because I guess seeds don't blow. The wind doesn't work. Yeah, we can keep that whole thing that you can just, well, with all of GMOs, that you can just sort of keep them in one little teeny place and it'll
that
be
they
fine.
Respect fencing markers.
Like genetically modified salmon. They'll all just stay in one little...
Yeah. I want to talk about tomorrow's event a little bit more. At 11 o'clock, you said Aztec dancers are starting off. And I was just wondering the significance or why you chose to... have Aztec dancers leading off the event tomorrow.
The Aztec, so there's a number of Aztec dancing groups here in the Portland area. I think it'll be an incredible way to really ground the energy, get everyone moving. The Aztec dancing kind of movement was a big part of the Chicano movement, you know. And it's really a matter of keeping the intention clear. You know, we're here to respect the earth, we're here to respect the seeds and the bees, and not here to yell about what we don't want. You know, it's really about manifesting what we want as well. And I think that's a really good way to start those intentions off for the day and gather everyone and get everyone grounded with respect and clarity. So that's really why.
It does raise a lot of energy. There, it's always a wonderful thing to have Aztec dancers, I think, at events. Couldn't agree more. So 503-231-8187 is the number to call to join us this morning. We have with us Tiffany Ayers and Karen Swift. They are talking about Global Day of Action tomorrow. We have also at 11 o'clock this morning here on KBOO Community Radio, Paul Rowland will be speaking with organizers around the ballot measures and other issues around right to know and GMO in the crop supply, let's just say. So that will be at 11 o'clock with Paul this morning. We figure it's a huge issue, right? I mean, y'all have put in a goodly amount of time, you know, working on this issue. It is, I think, at heart of so many things, because not only are we talking about implications about the earth and how our need to respect it may not include fundamentally changing the building blocks of life and patenting them for profit, you know, things like that. How you know, this is definitely having impact on crops and pollinators and our food supply and food safety. That's all on the one issue, but we also look at it in terms of corporate control. And corporate control of our food supply and corporate control of our lives. And so again, I think that if we look at this in a very broad lens, that this Global Day of Action is also looking at reclaiming our lives, you know, from corporate control. Can you comment on that?
I mean, the march is really about showing that we the people really have the power. You know, that was what we saw in Jackson and Josephine County, which again, this march, I want to emphasize, is it will be a celebration of what just happened down there. But I think it's incredibly important to unite with everyone and see that we are people from all walks of life. Just kind of like looking at Jackson and Josephine County, Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Green Party, every political spectrum, we eat food. You know, we want to have the right to eat food and respect the food that's grown, or stop other, you know, big companies from consolidating the food supply, which is really what's happening, and consolidating the seed supply. And when we all get out and gather on the streets, it really shows that they are outnumbered. You know, it's not a matter of taking back the power. Actually, it's just a matter of deflating that power, because, you know, we're all here. So,
and I know that in some I remember hearing Vanda and Ashiva talking about it being illegal in some countries for people to save seeds anymore. Is that the case here? Or because I know there are some networks around of seed savers.
You just can't. You can't save GMO seeds because they're patented. Yeah. Any other kind of seed, if you want, you're more than welcome to save them. That's totally illegal. But if you happen to save a GMO seed and replant it, you could get sued by Monsanto or Dow or Bayer, whoever.
Right.
Generally, I think it's Monsanto that goes and sues people.
Right. As in the case of the Canadian farmer. With the canola seed. Let's go ahead and talk to one of our listeners. Again, our number is 503-231-8187. If you'd like to call in and join us this morning on the air here on Positively Revolting, talking about GMOs, talking about Global Day of Action tomorrow, and reclaiming our lives from corporate control. We have only about 25 minutes left, so do call on in, 503-231-8187. You can also leave comments or connect with us on Facebook, where you can find us as Positively Revolting. Harvey, good morning to you. You're on the air.
Hello, Ani and Lynn, and thank you for the show. And thank you, Tiffany and Karen, for the great work you're doing. I'd like to talk about Monsanto. And it turns out that we American men, women, and children, and pets, the dogs and cats, are laboratory rats for Monsanto. Everything we buy, you know, when people buy with their store club cards, with their credit cards, with their debit cards, all that information is collected. They know down, you know, when you buy a package and the barcode, they know down to the lot where that wheat or corn came from. And so over the year, you know, they keep this information is for sale. It's one of the information commodities, and it can be sold to insurance companies, to hospitals, to Monsanto. And basically, they keep track of our diet, and they can predict that, you know, if you're eating this or that on a certain while, you're going to get a certain, you know, you're going to get diabetes or something like that. But in but with the GMOs, they can keep track of what happens to us, and we are essentially the lab rats for Monsanto. That's why they don't want us to know. They don't want us to know because that would disturb the experiment, and then they wouldn't find out. How, you know, which of their genetically modified products causes what kind of disease or dysfunctioning or, you know, like that. So we are Monsanto's rat.
Gotcha. Thanks, Harvey.
Sorry. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Comments? Hey, Harvey fairly spoke for himself there.
Yeah.
All right.
It made me think a lot about, like, well, I usually pay cash for food, so right. They're not tracking what I'm eating, but I can see that, yeah.
It's a whole nother level. 503-231-8187, the number to call. And let's talk to George. Good morning, George. You're on the air.
Good morning, Ani and Lynn and Karen, and is it Debbie?
Tiffany.
Tiffany, I want to thank all of you for the very excellent topic and for the bringing up of very important subtopics. I have a question which may seem minor, but I recall you mentioned, one of you mentioned a few minutes ago, that because the weeds are getting used to, they're adapting to the crops where they have Roundup Ready, you know, this and that. And so I believe someone said, okay, they're getting ready to try now because they're apparently the Roundup isn't as effective, so they want to legalize 2,4-D, which is really terrible. And I was wondering also if, in the meantime, are they using perhaps some organophosphates to try to fight weeds or something like that? I'm just wondering because I use a lot of carrots and to make a soup and onion and potato. I sometimes notice hand cramps after this, and I'm wondering is there some way of tracking the residues of organophosphates, or is there some way, it's an easy test?
Well, George?
Yes.
We are, you know, Tiffany and Karen are both community organizers, and I myself am not. I really appreciate your question, but I am not a biochemist or a medical researcher, and I don't think anyone here is, and I don't know how we can. I mean, I would contact someone who is more.
Do you either of you have any ideas who somebody might contact?
No, I don't.
But you do raise really good questions.
Yeah, it's a very good question. I just don't think we have the answers.
Okay, there used to be a toxic alert website. It's been so many years now. But I want to thank you folks, and I'll just go off the phone here, and then maybe I can find out something, and then if I do, I'll just leave it in a mailbox or mail it to KABU.
Wonderful. I mean, you can, and by all means, always email it to us if you find something.
Please.
We'd be delighted, and you can email us at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
Thanks. Positivelyrevolting@gmail.com.
And, yeah, I'll start doing some research that direction, too.
Okay, I thank you.
Thanks for raising
so much.
The question.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And eat organic carrots.
Eat organic whenever possible.
That would be
really.
My first suggestion.
Okay, 503-231-8187. We always have this phenomenon where suddenly we have a mass amount of callers when we have 3 minutes left. So it's still early, folks. You too can call in now, just like Chris has done. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just had a quick question. I was wondering if you guys happened to hear about, I know you guys were talking about the self-regulating earlier.
I was mocking that is what was going on.
There was this big Syngenta scandal where this scientist from Berkeley University blew the whistle on them. There's a really good video on him. They did an interview on A Democracy Now! Where Syngenta, the Syngenta products were like feminizing lab frogs, and there were other weird side effects to that. Have you guys heard anything about that?
Yeah. A while ago.
Tiffany and Karen are nodding their heads.
Yeah. We read the article.
Yeah.
The long initial article in the New Yorker, I believe it was, about him.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's good. I mentioned it to some people and no one's heard about it, and it's just I thought it'd be, since you guys were on the topic of Syngenta and self-regulating and such. Thank you.
Thanks.
I think that speaking for Lynn and myself, at least, because I feel I can speak for you, Lynn. In fact, you said it earlier in the show. That is, we don't actually believe self-regulation works, right?
Yeah, I was mocking self-regulation.
We get mocky sometimes, and it's hard to tell. It's kind of like it's hard to tell satire from reality sometimes, right?
And fact from fiction.
Yes.
The list goes on.
Oh, living in the modern age. And, you've got,
you know, I thought
you've got
I
things
liked,
to talk about,
yes,
don't
yes.
you?
What's coming up this morning on KABU? At 9 on One Land Many Voices, host Ned Roche speaks with journalist and author Ali Aboumina, co-founder of the Electronic Intifada, about the Nakba, the ethnic cleansing of over 750,000 Palestinians from historic Palestine. At 10 on Air Cascade, Air Cascade is off. So we'll go straight to Flashpoints, featuring another interview in the ongoing Flashpoint series looking at the Lyme disease epidemic. At 11, as we've been talking about on Radio Zine, host Paul Rowland looks at the building grassroots movement for GMO-free food and against corporate giant Monsanto and others who are pushing genetic modification and trying to block citizen initiatives. Guests will include Julia DeGraw, Northwest organizer of Food Water Watch,
Elise Higley.
I'm sorry, Elise Higley, thank you very much. It's so nice to have people here.
I was going
to
say,
isn't
that helpful?
Well,
that's good, isn't
it's
it?
Very good. Of Our Family Farms Coalition, Harry McCormick with the Benton County Community Rights Coalition, and Audrey Moore of the Freedom from Pesticides Alliance in Josephine County, a pretty well-covered thing. That will be 11 o'clock with Paul Rowland on the Radio Zine. And I just want to thank all of our KABU members again for their generous support in our recent membership drive. If by some chance you missed it, you can still contribute by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. And that's what's coming up on KABU this morning. Do keep your dial tuned to 90.7. I see.
That's right.
That's right.
Your community connection.
Uh-huh.
Let's go ahead and talk to Harry. Good morning, Harry. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. If I'm correct, there are 36 counties in Oregon, but only two had that ballot measure. I later found out that the state passed a law that only the state legislature can handle that. Is that true?
Tiffany's nodding, so I think...
Yeah, that was the SB 863.
actually, Jackson County was exempt from that law because they already had these signatures gathered to get that on their May ballot. As far as Josephine County goes, it's a popular vote, and then they're going to take it to court and see if they can actually enforce it.
Oh, I see. And so this law, so was it Kitzhopper? Did he have anything to do with this?
Yes, he did.
Oh, so he rubber stamped this.
Yes, it was kind of put through on a whole package that they wanted to get through that dealt with like PERS and was it CODA and yeah, a whole bunch of other things that they wanted to push through, and they just kind of snuck that into this whole package.
That's sort of a typical legislative maneuver, that you have this sort of umbrella package, and you know, who doesn't want to increase the fund for, you know, widows and orphans and something other, you know, and then all these other riders get attached to it. Is that sort of the situation you're talking about here?
Yeah, that's basically what happened.
It is election year, so is there any way we can twist arms and, you know, I'm not voting for Kitzhopper because what he did to my PERS, so is this a reason maybe to boot him out of office?
We need somebody to
boot in.
To boot in, yeah. You going to run?
No, well.
I think it is an excellent chance, though, to really pressure Kitzhopper and, of course, the task force that he created to deal with GMO issues. And, you know, really get the people, as everyone in Jackson and Josephine County stood up, to pressure some action, either repealing this or, you know, what if we saw a statewide ban? That would be amazing. But that's us as citizens speaking, wanting to see this happen.
Is the Reform Party still around?
There are many, many parties.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, looking at the electoral system, looking at candidates, looking at money to run campaigns and the people power and or people power to run campaigns, that's a tough row. But
thank you very much.
Necessary if we are, in fact, in this, shall we say, electoral system. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
And let's go ahead and talk to Andrew. Good morning, Andrew. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you so much for this program. I've got a couple of comments. First off, it's really important that everyone get behind the ballot initiative this November, the Right to Know initiative. I can't overstate the importance of this, especially with California and Washington's initiatives having been drowned out in out-of-state money with the chemical interests coming in. But it was estimated that Initiative 522 in Washington would have passed if 1% more of the electorate had participated in that vote. I don't think we're going to have a problem this go-round because of the other topics on the November ballot. But it does raise an interesting question of what happens if Oregon does not come through where California and Washington did go down. But also, I've got a lot of hope in Oregonians because you have to remember that back about 8 years ago is when the first stab against the biochemical interests occurred because the Tillamook Dairy co-op went against Monsanto with a lot of help, a lot of citizen involvement led by the Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility that organized a campaign to get RBTH out of dairy production. And the Tillamook Cooperative bravely went against Monsanto intimidation and was the first dairy to go RBTH free, and that had a cascading effect to the other major
dairies. It
did. Like Alvin Rose.
Yeah,
and an incredible citizen involvement. But I would like just to say one last thing about the GMO debate and how it is being framed in the public.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of scientific confusion or static, if you will, primarily about the safety of GMO foods. A lot of that has to do with the fact that the research is being subverted, not published. chemical interests are sitting on the boards of the major scientific magazines and stifling the publication of anti-GMO research and articles. And this, combined with a lot of the homespun media messaging that Monsanto is putting out, witness the last Super Bowl, where Monsanto had ads running during the Super Bowl touting their wholesomeness and how much they were friends of farmer moms, et cetera, trying to rebrand themselves as American as apple pie.
Thank you for watching that, so I didn't have to.
I didn't actually see it, but I did see the commercial on YouTube, and it was okay. Pretty creepy. but when we're arguing about GMOs, since there is such confusion, deliberate confusion in with discourse regarding safety of GMOs, I think the important thing to hammer on for us is the unassailable ironclad evidence that GMO crop production encourages the use of massive amounts of pesticides.
Right.
That it's really about pushing pesticides over more logical and biologically aligned ways of farming. And the evidence regarding the danger of pesticides to the land, to the farm workers, to the food that we eat is unassailable, and it is ironclad. And I think if we stay on message regarding that, then we are going to avoid a lot of the confusion that crops up, no pun intended, in these conversations. So that's
well, thank you. Thank you very much for your comment today.
Yeah, thank you so much for your work. Bye okay. Now.
Absolutely.
I always remember Jeff Goldblum's comment in Jurassic Park where he said, it was the best line in the whole movie, just because you can doesn't mean you should. As they were splitting genetics.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, I think, one last caller today. Good morning, Leanne. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Leah Maka. Good morning, ladies.
Oh, hello. Hi, Leah Maka.
Hi. I am with the Green Grange Alliance Coalition group of granges from Oregon, Washington, and California, and some various others across the country who are challenging the National Grange about the use of green and against GMOs. Our state convention is coming up in June, and one of the things we're going to be doing is having a table with all kinds of literature. But for people who want to know about the impact of GMOs and the scientific studies, Seeds of Deception is one of the first books you should read. The second thing is to order the DVD called Genetic Roulette, and then there's a third little book called Food Additives, and it's a small book, and all of these are available on Amazon at very, very reasonable prices. But it's an education process. People really need to understand how this works. And that's what I'm running into. People have not had the educational background to understand the DNA and exactly what the science is. Seeds of Deception really lays it out. They back it up with all kinds of research, show you where you can go to get it, to find it, how it was done, all kinds of stuff. So for people who want to know, the guy who was eating the carrots and wondering what was going on, that's one of the first places to start. And yes, eat organic. Okay.
Thank you for giving our listeners homework, Leah Maka. I appreciate okay. that.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And with only a few moments left, let's go ahead and make sure people know how to continue to contact groups involved, BioSafety Alliance or the Oregon Right to Know campaign. Karen?
BioSafety Alliance, go to biosafetyalliance.org, and Oregon Right to Know, again, all of us who are volunteers here in the Portland area are encouraging everyone to get involved and join us in the signature drive and get involved to make this campaign a reality, because we will. As we saw in Josephine and Jackson County, all of these big GMO companies were unable to buy the vote of the people, and that really is what is true, is the people cannot be bought, corporations cannot represent the people. You know, when we get out and knock door to door and reach out to one another, you know, that is what will make change happen. And that is really what is needed here in Oregon. And we want everyone to get involved. So if you want to know what's in your food, what's in the food that you eat, that's what the campaign is about, labeling GMOs, please get involved. Please get involved in the signature drive. Get involved in further down the line, reaching out to your neighbors, reaching out to other organizations you work with. You know, we will definitely need everyone to get involved. And we see a lot of momentum already. So this is already happening, and it will. And we see what happened in Vermont. We see all over the U.S. there's a lot of momentum to label GMOs, and it's just about there. But we want everyone to get involved. So please go to OregonRightToKnow.org and download the single signer petition sheet. That's the easiest first step you can take right now as you're listening. Just go download it, send it back in, then we'll reach the number, and then please tap in any way you can.
Thank you, Karen.
Tomorrow's event, one more time, Tiffany.
Tomorrow at Shemansky Park at 11 a.m. The event starts. The march begins at noon, and it goes on till 3 o'clock. I mean, well, not the march, but the event.
And for more information about that march?
Find us on Facebook, March Against Monsanto PDX.
And then, as somebody earlier pointed out, there are actions in Corvallis, in Salem, in Eugene. You can find them all online. I happen to have Eugene's in front of me, noon tomorrow at the Wayne Morse Free Speech Plaza. So that's one thing we know about. We also know the Capitol Building tomorrow at noon in Salem. So go ahead and search around. There are actions all over the state. There are actions all over the country, all over the world, as, you know, really globally people come together to say that we're concerned, that we want a world that actually values our food supply over corporate profit, that actually values the earth and how we live upon her over corporate profit. That's what it comes down to at a base: reclaiming our lives, reclaiming the food system, reclaiming you know, our place in the ecosystem. I want to thank you both for joining us this morning.
Thank you so for much having you. Us.
Any any it's like yeah. Let's just say thanks very much for joining us this morning. And we'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. Lynn, will we not?
I believe so, being positively revolting as ever.
And I'm just going to give a fair warning that next week is our last show before we take vacation.
A little hiatus.
We are taking a summer vacation for the first time in 20 years. So, listeners, go on, tune on in next week. It'll be the last you hear of us for a while.
Yeah, it might be some surprises for you. You never know.
You never know.
Thank you. wanna take a little time out. Do you? Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh, wait. Thank you.
Thank you for contributing to KBOO's membership drive. It was a success, and we couldn't have done it without you.
Thank you for your post, for your like, for your click. Summation needs a TTTT. Thank you for your love, for your care, for your kind.
What would you have instead?
The Union of Time Thieves is a monthly exploration of urban life. In this installment,